If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the one divine life. You're listening to Commander Lady Athena, and this is the voice of the Ashtar Command. So, tonight our seminar topic is releasing attachment to thinking and mentalizing. So, if you're ready to step into another level of freedom from yourself and the self that thought made, then take a deep breath and call yourself forward into a greater opening of your own understanding of self. That part that maybe some of you will learn to really identify very clearly during our seminar this evening. So, have you ever experienced that part of you that has nothing to do with your thinking? Interesting thought, isn't it? And speaking of which, sometimes we use thought like a thorn to remove another thorn. So, if you stop to think about it, still using that thorn, thinking is the coping mechanism that one adopts to function until awareness dawns. When does awareness dawn, you might ask? Whenever you're ready. If you're really tired of being sick and tired, frustrated, angry, upset, stressed, worn out, and overall not a very happy camper, if all you can think about is, when will Ashtar beam me off this planet? When are we going to ascend? If that's all you can think about, booby, then this seminar is for you. So are you one of those people who has to always figure everything out? The person that always has to come up with some reason why things are the way they are? Why did this happen? Why is this person the way they are? Why am I the way that I am? Do you have to have proof before you'll accept that something has validity? Do you get all stressed out over what someone said or did? And do you have to always understand the reason why? Well, that's attachment to thinking. That's mentalizing. And that trying, underlying trying, is very trying. That trying to understand is what's tiring you out. Sometimes your mental body is so full of etheric leakage that nothing can get past that mental construct to energize you with real life. Yeah. Everywhere you leak into falsehood. You deprive yourself of the experience of wholeness. So thinking is a habit that one becomes addicted to. This having to have an answer, having to figure out everything, is such a burden. And it is the root cause of all stress, of all disease, and of all mental illness. And yeah, these traits or vrittis or samskaras can actually come from an accumulation of bad habits that generate mental karma. And karma in this definition would be an action which, if it's unbalanced, has to have a corresponding action to balance it. So if you've come in with a heavy, let's say, layer of mental karma, it could be an issue that you really have to focus on pretty much for the whole lifetime. This is what causes people to go to the, here in Hollywood, the shrinks. Everybody's got their head coach, their shrink. And they're psychologists, they're psychiatrists, they're counselors. And all of that is because they haven't been taught how to transcend that thinking part of the mind into pure awareness. And that's what our topic is tonight. So attachment to thinking and the thought that you must continually be doing something about everything robs you of present wholeness and happiness. You know, people ask me all the time, what do you make of that? What are you getting in this situation? And what they really want me to do is move out of the bliss of my present awareness and do a psychic speculation on what I think is happening. And the truth is, I don't go there anymore. I don't allow thinking to infect my awareness. In fact, I have become so accustomed to operating beyond the thought process that it really hurts my head to try to come into that place where many people, I believe, actually operate from almost exclusively. And I've been trained too well by many, many decades of being with the cosmic avatar, Sai Baba, to still be operating in those psychic levels, in those levels where everything has to be figured out and interpreted. And part of that is projected into this whole fear that's coming in around the 2012. And what, you know, they think and speculate and project may happen. It's all mind stuff. It means absolutely nothing. That's not awareness. And the clue is that there's no peace in it. So thoughts always take one out of the present moment. Because thinking arises out of the time-entrapped mind. The mind, when it's functioning in that thinking, mentalizing process, is always out of sync with present nowness. So, most, I would say probably nearly everything that people think about when you really examine the content have nothing to do with them. It's about someone or something that has nothing whatsoever to do about the present moment or with their present awareness. And moreover, it's something that they can't do anything about anyway. So learn to be aware of the content of your consciousness. You know, you become a practical mystic. And if you can't do anything about it now, it's wasting your energy. It's leaking energy in that mental body that you could be utilizing to build in conscious awareness. Conscious awareness is actually a field of occupation in which you occupy yourself at a higher level of knowing. And you're not occupying yourself fully when you're in the process of thinking. So people in general tend to identify with their thoughts and with the content of their minds, mistaking these thoughts to be who they truly are. And few ever pause to consider whether those thoughts are true or not, or even questioning if they should be heeded. One allows these thoughts to unconsciously lead them about willy-nilly without any kind of conscious volition or presence. They just become habitual modalities of operating. So thinking for most people has become so automatic that it's seldom ever subject to scrutiny or questioning or even doubting. And one tends to assume that one's thoughts must be valid and, in most cases, acted upon. So without learning to discern between thinking and awareness, between thinking and being, happiness will always be elusive. People want happiness. They pursue what they think will make them happy. And that happiness, if it's born out of the thinking process, is always short-lived. In fact, the very thought of pursuing happiness, of even wanting, desiring to be happy, is produced by the mind that views everything as separate and apart from who and what they are right now. And whenever something must be pursued or sought or possessed in order to have it, you are in a fictional self. You're in that ego, in that separated sense of identity. That's always going to be a begging bowl. You never get enough in that bowl to make it feel full. So this is the strangest thing. And note this well. It's so strange to realize this, that whenever you are thinking and mentalizing and trying to understand something, you are in fact totally unconscious. Whenever you're thinking, you're unconscious. It is thinking and mentalizing that robs you of conscious awareness. It is thinking and mentalizing that is holding you back from that awareness and that self and God realization that so many of you truly aspire to move into. So do you know the difference between being conscious and aware and thinking? Here's your clue. Awareness always involves what is right now. thinking is always connected to what was or what might be. You see the connection here between thinking and time? Yeah. Thinking and time are always related. And they never are present now. When you are caught up in thinking about something, you, as a spirit, as conscious awareness itself, are not present. When you're caught up in thinking, you, your real self, is not present. Because who you truly are is awareness itself. Conscious awareness itself. So when you're not fully aware and conscious in the now moment, you're not fully occupying the present. You have to occupy your life. Otherwise, you're hanging out in some imaginative or emotive or mentalizing level or unconscious level, but you haven't fully shown up in your life. So notice how dissatisfied, discontent, how much unrest and worry are connected to not being fully present here and now. In fact, being dissatisfied, discontented, frustrated, impatient, worried, all of those are indicative that you're attached to thinking. You're caught up in a web of time. You've bought into a fictional sense of self. So worry is attachment to thinking about a problem before there is a problem. Think about how illogical that is, but how common it is. How many people do you know that are not self-realized saints or sages or meditators or yogis or whatever? Think how many you know that are not worried about something. Worry is attachment to thinking about a problem before there is a problem. Awareness allows you to recognize that here and now all is well. Always well. Here and now, everything is just fine. So to simply be here now and focus upon what is before you right now is all that you need to be aware of. It's awareness that allows you to recognize that whatever is truly needed is always at hand. That's a law of the universe. It could never not be that way. You couldn't possibly have a need that hasn't already been met. It's always at hand, whatever it is you need. That applies to every level. So awareness is also experienced as faith, or entrusting the outcome to something that's greater than yourself. Allowing that which is within you to be greater in power and more important than anything in the world. Awareness allows you to know that the situation and the solution always arrive at the same time, like the front and back of the same coin. That's another spiritual principle. People want to understand universal laws. Well, that's one of them. So an exercise in futility that will surely rob you of sleep and even eventually your sanity and cause you to be stressed, uptight, and exhausted is to worry about something that you can do nothing about in this moment. and awareness would reveal the absurdity of that immediately. Now, awareness would immediately reveal the absurdity of worrying about something that you can do nothing about in the moment. That would be an indication, when you realize that, that you've exercised your awareness. So the next time you find yourself caught up in that loop of worry, tail chasing, mentalizing, look and see if there's anything you can do about it in the moment. But you know what? Worry comes in when you are attached to some area of disquietude or discomfort at another level. For example, watch how the mind is weakened by the condition of the physical body and how quickly you can identify yourself, for example, with your body and allow that to sour your whole attitude and lower the altitude of your vibration. So many people allow their bodies to control and dictate how they respond to someone. They get cross, they get grumpy, they get snappy. They act unlovingly. Why? Because they are caught and trapped in the thinking that they are the body. Really, it's fear. It's fear-based identification with that which you're not. The feedback is that you feel grumpy. You're out of sorts. And then you eject that poisonous attitude on some poor, hapless person in your environment. That's called an infliction of consciousness, by the way, that creates karma that you're going to have to be responsible for balancing. If you exercise the awareness that you're not the body, that you're not your beliefs about your body, that in fact you are that which is the witness of the body, the witness of the thinking, the witness of the self, the personal self in this world, then you wouldn't allow those things to control you and to rob you of present love and bliss. These things would throw you off center. But you need to exercise that awareness, or you're just going to keep morphing back into that thought form of who you think you are, based upon the labels that you've attached to this body-mind complex and what you think you're all about and who you think you are. You're just enacting one of millions of characters on this stage of life. To experience the self in a variety of manifestations and energetic exchanges, that's not who you are. You're the divine one that is witnessing the whole play. And I might add, laughing merrily. So, that exercise in futility of worrying about something that you can do nothing about in this moment is a classic and, too familiar example of how thinking entraps you in time and robs you of conscious awareness, of present love, of present joy. Jesus in A Course in Miracles has stated that when we imagine that we are thinking of the future, that actually the mind is blank because the future is not present now. Likewise, the only thing that can truly be said about the past is that it is not here now. The past is an interpretation of what your thoughts have convinced you happened. Regardless of your interpretation, The past is simply not present now. And so you can do nothing about either the present or the past. The future, I meant to say. You can do nothing about the past or the future right now. You can only attend to the present. So awareness allows you to realize the simplicity and wisdom and practicality of staying focused and present here and now. You know, even the physical condition of the body, very often disease is projected into the present because of the past interpretation that has been woven around that story that you keep telling yourself about your body or your condition or your situation until you've identified with a storyline so entirely that you're no longer aware. And that interpretation, that storyline that you keep projecting on yourself, on your body, on your state of being, is actually a fictional self that you're operating from, and you have not really shown up at all. You're totally unconscious. We've been looking at this way that we create a false identity now for a series of our seminars because it's so crucial to dropping that misery-generating fictional self so that you can move into a state of consciousness where you're truly living, you're truly alive. And your life is the gymnasium in which you cultivate the muscle of conscious awareness. And every moment of your day, you can exercise and work out in practicing your awareness. See if you can catch yourself when you're caught up in the past and thinking about what happened and you should have, would have, could have. Watch that. Be aware when you're projecting into the future, trying to manipulate and control what may happen, which is impossible for something that's not present. Be aware that you're unconscious. You've fallen asleep. You bought into the storyline fiction. You haven't shown up in your life. No wonder you're not a happy camper. Every joyless state indicates that you're unconscious, that you have lost awareness. You can return your conscious awareness to awareness by beginning to be aware when you're not aware, when you are thinking, when you are caught in the past or projecting into the future, or whenever you're not wholly joyous, whenever you're not happy, joyous, and full of love, it's because you're looking at something that is not there and trying to make it real. You're trying to mood make out of something that you only need to watch and laugh at. Go on your merry way. This is a life of simplicity that is so joyful that you never want to relinquish it once you have gotten a taste of it. So when you are practicing present awareness, you are present and available to the moment, to divine spirit, and to miracles. Miracles transcend time. And without mental baggage, you are free to love and free to fully live and fully appreciate and enjoy the moment. So Jesus, in A Course in Miracles, describes miracles that are born of love in a holy instant. And here is how to practice a holy instant. Take a deep breath and say to yourself, I will be still an instant and go home. And as you close your eyes, in that instant, you're home. And you can practice that throughout your day. Take a deep breath, close your eyes. I will be still an instant and go home. And as you return your thoughts to the awareness that you rest in God and you always are home in God, awareness causes that little sigh of relief, that sense of rest that comes as you transcend time and thinking for even an instant. That's why it's called a holy instant, because you're wholly instantly home in the heart and love of the all it is. So that's such a simple exercise that you can apply throughout the day to transcend thinking and the world and to move into present awareness. So attachment to thinking is what is robbing you of awareness. Attachment to thinking is what is preventing you from experiencing being fully alive and at peace right now. Attachment to thinking is what is keeping you from experiencing the thrill of a fully opened heart. The heart is disconnected from your total presentation into the world when you're lost in the unconscious thinking, reactive state of mind. The entire condition of our world today has been birthed out of that mentation, that thinking that has been separated and divorced from the heart. And that is what causes all of man's inhumanity to man and all of the unnatural things that we see in our world. So the entire transformation of consciousness that we are globally undergoing is the uniting of the heart with every part of our being. But the heart is present in awareness. And the heart is never present in thinking. So if you want to experience the heart opened to where you fall in love with everything you look at and see the beloved everywhere you look, transcend attachment to thinking. Because when you've moved into awareness, you will experience that it is the same as the heart, a spiritual heart, fully opened to yourself, to others, and to life. So attachment to thinking is what is keeping you from loving and accepting yourself and others. That imperative that thinks it has to change other people because it has identified them in a way that's tied to their thinking. They're expecting, they're demanding, they're projecting, which again is a whole separation from a heartfelt embracement and acceptance of the divinity and beauty of all things, the appropriateness of all things when seen in the correct awareness. So attachment to thinking is what is causing you to feel alone and lonely and unloved. It's all born of thinking. Attachment to thinking is really a bad habit because of all that it robs you of. And the main thing it robs you of, this thinking, is the awareness of love. Attachment to thinking robs you of experiencing yourself as love and the awareness that love is all there is. Love is the truth that thinking would hide from your awareness. Of course, nothing hides from awareness. Awareness is aware. But your thinking sometimes creates a fictional spiritual id or persona that is born of your own thinking, your own imagining, your own labeling, but is as unconscious as your densest ego because it's born of your thinking, of your interpreting, of your projecting. It's not awareness. So thinking is the coping mechanism that one adopts to function within the Maya, the holodeck programs of this world. However, thinking becomes completely obsolete with the awakening and integration of your true spiritual nature. It becomes obsolete. That's why every teacher, every guru, every person that really is exercising spiritual awareness will give you some technique to enable you to transcend the thinking mind and to move into spiritual awareness. And so you learn to identify with awareness rather than with your thought. Awareness can only be experienced in the now. A useful practice to become more aware might be your sitting and simply becoming aware of what is in your immediate environment. A few seminars back, I had you being aware of the sounds in your environment without resistance, without interpretation, without having to do or change or manipulate or do anything about any of it. You just become aware. You become aware of your body sitting here, or lying down, wherever you have to be, the pressure of the chair or the bed or the couch, the temperature of the body, the room, the sounds that you may be hearing. And whether or not you're aware as I'm speaking, or are you trying to do something already with your mind in what is being shared, be aware that trying to do something with anything is part of that thinking process. If everything already is, what needs to be done? When you're aware, you realize everything is but God. That's the ultimate awareness, is God awareness. And the more aware you become, the less you are in that identification with being the doer of anything. Not that doing doesn't get facilitated through you, but it isn't born of thought and separate identity. It is simply God expressing Dharma. And Dharma is the behavior of the Atma, or the spirit. So thinking becomes obsolete with the awakening and integration of your true spiritual nature. And with awakening, you begin to realize that you are a divine immortal being, only utilizing that thinking portion of the mind for a time in order to function in time. So it's an operational mechanism that a person that's still identified with the human state, the lower consciousness, the social consciousness, the psychic consciousness, all of the levels that are part of the fictional self, operating in time and under all the limitations of time, unconscious, unawake, unaware, that part, uses that thinking portion to interpret and to move through the environment. But you know what? You can function from awareness even better. Yeah. You don't become inoperative within the world by exercising awareness. You become more impeccable. In fact, that is the root of impeccability, is not to operate from thinking but through divine intent, which is called in Sanskrit swadharma. Swadharma is the natural behavior when you are a centered, integrated, and aligned, aware being functioning in conscious awareness. So in that process, you discover ways to transcend and lift above your conditioned mental patterns, your usual operative thinking modality, and your adaptive approaches to life that operate out of those unconscious portions of your lower self, your false self, your ego, your time-bound, time-limited interpretation of your life. And you discover the freedom of awareness unfettered by thinking. You begin to practice maintaining that level, that new level. It's maintained through many different approaches. Through Vipassana meditation, which is the objective observer that I've been speaking about, the witness consciousness. It's practiced through replacing thinking with mantra. But you begin to operate by catching yourself and making a volitional conscious intention to cease approaching your life through thinking and departing from present moment by retreating into the past, relying on past experience, or projecting into the future. You learn how to be here now. You learn how to be love now. That's what's important. And your awareness is what opens you up to ever fresh new revelation. Otherwise, you're just, you know, regurgitating something that you've learned that's been stored in your mental body, but you're, again, totally unconscious of any genuine self-initiated awareness. And by self-initiated, I mean spiritual self-initiated awareness. So here are a few simple practices that you can, if you so choose, utilize to rise above thinking and into awareness. They proceed from very, very simple processes to more complex, and you can make them more complex if you've already outgrown some of the ones I'm sharing. I'm sharing from my own experience, so this is the process and the ways that I have been able to transcend thought and to operate from awareness. So, you can use 3x5 cards as reminders until your response becomes as habitual as it was before to operate from your thinking. You began to operate spontaneously from the awareness of your integrated spiritual self. So use whatever reminders you need that will keep you on, you know, on that path. So if you notice thoughts or worries about the future trying to enter your mind when you can do nothing about the situation now, here's what you do. Remind yourself, we do not have to think about that now. I used to do that all the time because I used to be a nighttime worrier. I think many of us are. And I simply tell my mind, we do not have to think about that now. And it was wonderful because there was a part of me that really thought we had to do something about whatever it was right now, or at least worry about it. So remind yourself, we do not have to think about that now. For example, maybe when you're trying to retire and wind down from the night, these thoughts of what you need to do tomorrow, next week, next month, fears of what happened before, all of that might come into your mind. But the only thing you need to do is to wind down and go to sleep. So remind yourself, we don't have to think about that now. There's nothing that needs to be done now but to go to sleep. Or if you awaken in the night, sometimes we tend to wake up and stress about, you know, whatever wasn't resolved in the daytime. And that's, again, a time to remind yourself that God has that handled already. And He'll let us know when we need to do whatever at the right time. So you begin to address that thought stream of worry and to redirect it into letting go and letting God. Another practice that I've used, especially in my earlier years, was to write a letter to God. You can address your letter to Jesus, Sai Baba, your guru, your teacher, your high self, whoever you have faith in, and you just release onto paper whatever you're concerned or worried about or afraid might happen or what is happening to you in the moment. And then you put your letter in your Bible or behind a picture or in some way you symbolically place it before the feet of the Master or Jesus or Mary or a saint as a sign that you've released it to Divine Spirit to handle. And if that worry or concern comes up again, you tell yourself, we've already released that to God. God has it handled. We've already released that to God. And you do that as often as you have to. And I found that if you're asking for something specific, for example, help for a loved one or a job for a loved one or whatever, if you date that letter, and it's a specific prayer and not just something you're releasing, in 6 months, pick that up and reread it. And you can see how God met every need, answered every prayer, and you see how God worked you through whatever that is or the person that you prayed for their highest good. Because it's always, when you place it in God's hands, it's always worked out for the highest good of all concerned. Nobody loses when God has it covered. So that is how you can develop more faith in the unseen realms and confidence as you see them responding and addressing very physical needs and concerns. And that's important because we can tend to forget, you know, once the problem has been handled. And how many situations are resolved through that pure, loving grace of divine mediation? I've never ceased to be amazed at how perfectly in exactly the perfect divine timing, all situations are resolved when you simply, with great faith and release, offer them to God. You know, in prayer, believing. And of course, in miracles, Jesus states, trust would solve every problem now. And your present trust is all that is required to assure a future totally unlike your past. So you might want to look up that paragraph on trust in the Manual for Teachers. It's the last book in the Course in Miracles if you have the big, thick book. Very important. Reread that a lot. Because everything is built upon a foundation of trust. Everything's spiritual. So another technique I've practiced for many decades is to replace thinking and monkey mind by repeating a mantra or the names of God in my mind. In fact, it's automatic now. My mind is always, always chanting God's name. It never stops. It is chanting me now, so I don't have to make a conscious choice to do it. It's just always going on in the background of my mind. You can use any statement of faith, like God is present and all is well, or God is in charge here, or Om Sai Ram, or Jesus is Lord over this, or Jesus is Lord over all, or Anai Hue, or Hue, or Om, whatever it is that you chant. Those of you who, or the Gayatri Mantra is another really good one. I do that if I'm in an airplane or in a car where the driver isn't very attentive, or where there's a situation that's kind of gnarly that you want the energies to be balanced, to chant the Gayatri Mantra. And those of you who have been initiated by John Roger, or in Ekankar, or in another group, you can repeat in your mind the mantra you were given during initiation. And the vibrations of these divine names and mantras actually will transmute the energies and cause the highest divine outcome to occur. That's really flowing with the energies of grace. And all you need to do is keep that in your mind instead of your thinking and your worrying and your mentalizing. Just repeat the name of the Lord. And instead of trying to figure out what to do or worrying, always place yourself in whatever situation you're concerned about in the divine light, the Christ light for the highest good, for yourself and all concerned. I'd like the light here. I'd like the highest divine light to be placed with myself and my family and this situation, you name it, for the highest good of all concerned. Take a deep breath and let it go. And if that worry comes in, oh, God has it handled. We've already placed it in the light. That's how you move through life in grace. Always use the light in all ways. In fact, an acronym that John Roger has given for light is living in God's holy thoughts, which is another way of maintaining divine awareness. And it's such a simple way to address the things that come up in our lives. Use the light when you get in your car, when you go to into your job, when you have a conversation or whatever with anyone. Always use the light first. Place it between you and everything that you're involved with. Place it before you in the road where you drive. Wrap yourself in it when you wake up in the morning. Direct your day and every atom of your existence. Let it be filled with the divine light of the Christ and filled with the energy and power of the Holy Spirit. When you go to sleep at night, surround yourself with that divine Christ light and ask to be taught or use or both in whichever way would be for your highest good as you go out and work in the other dimensional levels of your being. So this is a way to practice the presence of God, both within you as conscious awareness and without as that divine flow of ease and grace that comes from the awareness of God always being present with you and within you in all times and places. And be happy and secure in the awareness that all the teachings that you need, all of the understanding, all of the awareness is always available to you within the present moment that matches your highest level of receptivity. The dimension that you're on, the plane that you operate from, each of these dimensional levels and planes align you with a particular teaching approach, a particular level of revelation, and open you in ever-expanding divine awareness. So awareness does not have a lid on it. And revelation is how greater awareness is imparted divinely. So you don't have to think about it. So, I hope that has been helpful to you. It was helpful for me in sharing it because it caused me to reflect back on my own path of progression and the things that I need to relinquish and let go of to move to my next level of awareness. Because we develop habits, even habits that purport to be very spiritual, very enlightened, we have to watch it because that ego mind is so clever, it will mock up and masquerade a false spiritual identity. And then you get attached to that. You get attached to your press. You begin to believe your promo material. So at every level, we have to move from what we thought was to what is right here and now and to be present with that. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting on IQ. God bless you, God evening, and God willing, I will be with you this time next week. Adonai.